A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Before we get into today's podcast, I just want to give a great big welcome to a brand new sponsor of the show. It's Zora.io. Zora is a really great site. If you're a landlord, you really need to check this website out. They have all kinds of really neat tools. One of the things that they'll do is they will help you manage all of your listings with just one click on all of the major listing sites like Craigslist, Trulia, Zillow, and Hotpads. They have an online application that your applicants can use. And what I think is really the neatest thing is they have a thing called Z-Score that'll help you screen your tenants. It looks at more than just a person's credit score because, as you know, there's a lot of mistakes on credit reports. But they actually look at a person's ability to pay. And through Z-Score, they've actually been able to halve the default rate compared to just looking at a person's credit score. If you go to Zora.io/offer, you can try it free for 30 days. That's Zora.io/offer. And Zora is spelled Z-O-R-A. If you missed that, I will go ahead and put a link on our show notes page. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode77. Joining me on the podcast today is Kevin Purser, and Kevin is building his rental portfolio using turnkey rentals. And I want to learn more about this because I'm really curious about turnkey rentals. Kevin, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us what got you interested in owning rental properties?
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. And thanks for having me on the show. Sure. So as far as the getting into rental properties, it's kind of interesting. My story is it kind of started a while back, but basically I was living out in the Bay Area back in 2000. And back then, starting my industry in the tech industry, you know, real estate prices and rentals over there were just crazy, right? So I'd just gotten kind of a little bit annoyed with how much money of my salary is going to pay for rent and things like that. So really early on, I kind of decided that I wanted to, you know, figure out a way around that, figure out a way to kind of stop throwing away that much money of, you know, in terms of paying for rent and things like that. So I knew that real estate was something I wanted to do. I just wasn't sure, you know, what I was going to be figuring out how to do yet. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
So, but basically what happens is you fast forward and I decided that every primary residence that I would buy from that point forward would be, you know, at least a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom place, because my initial idea was I would basically get some roommates in and they would help me pay for the mortgage and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so my real estate agent here in the DC area that I started working with, and she saw what I was, you know, trying to do, and she figured out what my goals were. She initially suggested, hey, why don't you just get your real estate license? You know, I could work with her and focus on her investor buyers. And that was, you know, one way to kind of get into the real estate market in a more professional sense.
Sure.
And so I started doing that and I started liking where that was going. And ironically, she also knew that I was trying to focus on rentals for myself. And I think she stumbled across your podcast really early on and she introduced me to it. And I started listening to the podcast and it was perfect because I hadn't really found that kind of content anywhere before.
Right.
And in one of your earlier episodes, one of your guests had started talking about the turnkey properties. And, you know, that idea really intrigued me, right? Because I actually have a regular job, which keeps me pretty busy. So if I could find some sort of turnkey properties where, you know, a lot of the work is being done for you, sure, at a cost, but, you know, if a lot of the work is being done in terms of identifying properties, identifying property management, getting tenants in place, all those sorts of things, if that's being done for you, that really helps out in terms of, you know, being able to own these kind of properties without having to worry about a lot of the normal landlord hassles you might have to deal with.
And so you never actually ended up buying any properties locally. You went straight to turnkeys?
I actually did buy one locally. This was before I kind of found out about the turnkey idea. So I did buy one here in the DC area. And, you know, as you know, I mean, the amount of money you have to put down to buy a place that would be cash flow positive from a pure rental perspective is just huge.
Yeah, right? It doesn't make sense. And it's like that in a lot of major cities where the prices are just so high and the rents aren't high enough. So exactly. Were you at that point when you bought that place, did you really understand the numbers of how things work? Or were you thinking, well, this is a good deal, this is probably going to appreciate, this is maybe a good investment?
I kind of looked at that. I was still looking at that one as another principal residence that I would buy, move into, but it was a big enough townhouse that I would get a handful of roommates to kind of help pay down that mortgage. And that's kind of the initial thought behind that one. That's what I was thinking.
And we're both in the same market. If anyone doesn't know, we live not too far from each other, but that's really in our city where things are so expensive. Having roommates is really one of the only ways that you can get above market rent. Able to cover the mortgage with the roommates? And then I guess were you having to kick in some money yourself?
Yeah, I think in that particular property, I think between the three rooms that it had, that was pretty much cash flow neutral. So, give or take a little bit, but that was
well. That's pretty that good, good for around for here. Yeah,
exactly.
So, for anyone that doesn't know, why don't you just quickly just tell us what a turnkey is, just in case that this is a new concept to anybody?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole concept of a turnkey rental property is the fact that you're basically understanding that somebody is going to be doing the same kinds of things that you would be doing yourself if you're looking for your own property to buy. A lot of that's being done, right? So I'm actually working with a broker who has gone into different, macro markets, different regions in the country to figure out where are, good investor advantage kind of markets right now. So they do that work. And then they go into those different markets and figure out, who are the biggest wholesalers, who are the biggest flippers and those kinds of sellers. And from a volume perspective, they approach those kinds of sellers, work out deals, and then they can start promoting those properties. And they're also making sure that these sellers, either the sellers themselves, or there is some other good property management people, the companies in the same local area, such that once you buy the property, it can automatically or just immediately be turned over to those property management companies. And at that point, hopefully in most of the cases, the turnkey properties are also kind of, there's the assumption that there's going to be a tenant in place at the time you close on the property. So the idea is that from day one, when you buy the place, it's already cash flowing.
And that's really a great business. I really admire the turnkey companies in the businesses that they've built, because they're basically house flippers, but instead of fixing up a house and selling it to a retail buyer that's going to buy one house, they are fixing up foreclosures that they can sell to investors that are going to be buying multiple properties over and over and over again. So it's almost, I think, a more interesting model. But the one thing that I guess I kind of have a love-hate relationship with turnkeys. I think it's great that you buy a place and you've got cash flow on day one. You've got a tenant in place. But I feel like you're probably paying market value for the house. You're not getting as much of a discount as if you had gone and found the wholesaler yourself and bought the property. Was that a concern at all?
Not really, because that's definitely true, right? That's one of the things when it comes to kind of recognizing what this whole value proposition here is that, you're going to end up paying for some of what that's being, if you think about it, they're doing a lot of work too, right? They're actually doing the flipping themselves, they're identifying which properties would actually be good investments. They're doing some of that for you already. So, I kind of personally look at it as that's a perfectly valid exchange in terms of, what they're doing for my paying market value for the property.
Okay.
I'm not personally looking so much at, long-term. For me, it's more of a cash flow kind of a proposition versus a capital appreciation kind of a game.
Right. Yeah. Like most of these turnkey rental markets where these houses are, they're not going to appreciate as much as, say, where we are in the DC area. These markets are more stable, where your properties probably aren't going to go down in value, but they're probably not going to go up too much either. It's kind of steady, and the cash flow is incredible, right? You can get a much better cash flow than you're getting in basically any other place in the country. Would you say that? Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it from a ratio perspective, you know, some of these markets that I'm looking at, they tend to have typically a 1% return in terms of, you know, how much, you know, the actual purchase price of a property to the actual rental income you would generate per year.
Right.
So, and you know, at least 1% is pretty good. And you really can't do that here.
You know, that's something else, because I'm sure there's people that are listening to this show right now thinking, 1%, I can get 2% in my market or 3%. So what would you say to someone like that, that maybe is lucky enough to live in one of those areas where every property cash flows and every property is kind of a no-brainer? Like, would you say that for those kind of people, a turnkey maybe isn't the best way to go? Or can you find turnkeys that maybe are at 2% or higher?
It depends in terms of even just identifying the properties is one thing, but still some of the value of the turnkey folks is that, I mean, if from an investor perspective, you can just go up to these folks and just know that you're buying something that they're already, you know, they've done the renovation work, they've identified tenants, right? Even if I were to live in one of those areas where the actual purchase price of the homes are reasonable, I would still have to do a lot of work myself, right? I'd still have to do the renovations. I have to know the guys who could do those kinds of quality renovations. I'd still have to find tenants and manage the property and all that stuff as well, whereby with the turnkey property itself, you know, all that's kind of taken care of.
You know, and the renovations and the work they're going to do is a great point, because the turnkey industry is kind of like the Wild West. A company will call themselves a turnkey company, and some of them are doing a full rehab. You know, they're legitimate companies, and that they're maybe putting on a new roof or a new HVAC system, and they're fixing the house up and making it really nice. Mm-hmm. Other companies are sending a guy in there for a few hours, and he's just basically fixing anything that's broken.
Yeah.
They throw a tenant in there. How did you make sure that your turnkey company was legitimate? Like, did you vet out a couple of companies to make sure that this company was good?
So that's a great question, because the truth is, I think in my first experience, so the broker that I work with, they introduced me to other, you know, wholesalers in different areas. So the broker themselves have done as much work as I can, but they're not really local to those markets either.
Right.
So initially, my first couple of transactions, when they introduced me to a seller, I probably didn't do enough vetting as I would have personally liked. Not to say that the actual assets that I did acquire from those guys were bad, but just the experience wasn't quite what I was expecting, right? I think the quality of the actual property itself, I personally would never live in it, but even still, from a rental perspective, looking back on it, I could have gone either way, whether I should have purchased it or not.
Okay.
But that experience was certainly good in terms of, you know, leveraging that into the next set of purchases, knowing what to ask those sellers at that point, having been through an experience before was really kind of instructional, I think.
Right. So what are some big takeaways? If someone's looking to buy their first turnkey, what are some things that are important to ask or to check out with the company you're thinking about doing business with?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think one of the things is just to recognize that, you know, the process to acquire property, whether it's a turnkey, whether it's your principal residence, whatever it is, right? The process is still pretty simpler either way, right? A lot of people don't like rental real estate or turnkeys or whatever, because there's that emotional kind of a difference. Mm-hmm. They think that they're not going to live in it, or it's far away, or for whatever reason, they feel like it's different. But the truth is, the process is still pretty similar, right? You're still going to, you review the purchase contracts from the seller. You're still going to get a home inspection, right? If you're doing, you know, lending, you're still going to get an appraisal. All those sorts of things are still pretty similar to the process of a regular home purchase, right?
Yeah, a home inspection, I think, is really kind of an important thing to do. Wouldn't you say that
Absolutely.
You definitely don't want to take their word that everything is good?
Absolutely.
Especially
make sure that you find your own home appraiser,
right? Because, yeah, you don't want to use their guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So how did you find a home inspector? Because obviously you're not from that city. You don't have any connections. How did you find somebody?
Right. Yeah, I just went online and just looking through, you know, reviews from Angie's List and Home Inspector, I think is our, I forget the other website, but just doing some research online and then calling up a bunch of different people in those local markets and just kind of talking to those different inspectors and asking what they would do, what kind of time frames, what kind of reports they would get back to me, all this stuff. Again, knowing that I'm not local, you know, having a communication is important, right? Knowing what kind of information they'd be passing back to me, and what time frames is kind of important as well.
And most home inspectors today have a really good report. I mean, they usually have pictures, and you really have a good feel of the house. So did you feel comfortable after you got the inspection back?
I did. And in all the cases too, again, since, you know, if I were local, it'd be one thing, I'd be with the inspection, when it's actually happening. But in these cases, you know, all the inspectors, they went through an initial report, gave me a fantastic little booklet with pictures and good explanations of everything they found. And then at that point, I went back, of course, to the sellers and negotiated what items to fix and whatnot. And then after that, I made sure that the home inspectors would be willing to go back out after the seller claimed that they remedy everything, and just do another inspection just to make sure that, you know, those items hadn't been addressed.
Right.
There's a satisfaction.
What kind of items came up?
The whole gamut. And it's interesting because this is where, you know, the home inspection from a third party is very important, right? Because I think in one of the initial couple of properties, there had been, I think it was around six months worth of quote unquote renovation work going on. And after the inspection at that point came back, and one of the townhouses had an active termite infestation.
Oh, wow.
Eating through the foundation. I think there was something like six or seven floor joists that had been eaten through, to the point where my inspector said the property needs a structural evaluation.
Wow.
So that was a great cue to walk away from that one at that point.
You know, it's amazing that the turnkey company even bought that property, that they didn't get their seller to fix it. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of times they're buying foreclosures, and when there's a termite problem, the banks will fix that. So I wonder why they didn't get that taken care of up front. But I guess there could be a lot of different situations.
I was surprised. But at least, again, just having an inspection, having a third party inspection, and their follow up was just really important. Because obviously, a lot of times that might go missed if it's an inspector they recommend or whatever the case is there.
So all of your properties, are they all in one market, or did you buy in different markets?
I've actually bought in a couple of different markets. I have the one here in DC. I've got some in Philadelphia. I've got some in Indianapolis. And so just different areas around the country. But, you know, those are a couple of places I've looked at so far.
What made you want to pick those markets? Like, were those markets, did you evaluate other markets and find that those were the best for what you were trying to do? Or like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I think initially, since Philly was my first market, my first kind of foray into the whole turnkey experience, again, going to talking to other sellers after that experience was informative for me, because I think when I talked to a couple of people in other markets like Chicago, I got a sense that they really focused their kind of tenant placement on Section 8 kind of tenants. Okay. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's just personally not something that I want to deal with there. So I avoided that market. And I was looking at Kansas City as well as Indianapolis as well. Those are the two properties, or two areas I looked at afterward.
Okay. And how did you research the areas, like to know if they were good cities, and then also if the neighborhoods you were buying in were good neighborhoods?
Yep. So as far as that goes, I think, so the broker that I've worked with, they've kind of identified a couple of those macro markets. So Kansas City, Indianapolis, things like that. And then from that point, it's just going online and doing a lot of research wherever I can on, you know, city data and those kinds of websites to give me some of that, you know, job kind of information, school information, those sorts of things.
Okay.
And certainly when you get the, you know, once you actually get into a purchase contract on one of these properties, you have the full address of the property, of course. So you can look up, you know, specifically what street it's on, you know, what school district that property would be in, all those sorts of things as
well. And I know some of the less reputable turnkey companies will just throw any tenant in there just so that they have someone in there and they can tell you it's cash flowing. Did you get good tenants, and were you able to check them out at all, or did you get any information on them before you closed?
That's a good question. I actually have not. And this is one of those things that, you know, admittedly, I'm kind of still early on in the turnkey experience myself, right? So that's one of the things I still don't have a lot of, you know, personal gut feel one way or the other. They all did say that I could look at the lease application from the tenant if I wanted to. I think for whatever reason didn't happen. I just didn't take a look at them.
Okay.
So we'll.
But everything's worked out though. You haven't had any late rents or you haven't had any problems with your tenants yet?
No, not really. Just a couple of minor maintenance issues, but that's to be expected. So
awesome.
Nothing major.
I love it. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show. I learned a lot about turnkeys today and I feel good about it. And this actually may be something that I would consider doing at some point. So thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry, with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help, so you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.